I'm talking about Eureka 7. John, what are you talking about again?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Hello and welcome to Keyframes, a podcast about anime. I'm your host, Ben Halliburton, and with me today are Andy.
Hey, hey, hey.
And John.
Hello, that's me.
We've got a small panel today, which gives us more time to talk about all the anime we've been watching. And I know Andy has at least 5 different shows that he wants to talk about. Don't laugh. This is literally the truth. It's not a joke.
Yeah, no, it's not. I've been watching... I mean... It's safe to be saying I've been watching largely garbage. I kind of gotten into a bit, like, I started watching Idolmaster Cinderella Girls, which I don't really have much to say in, apart from I hate half of them, and I want them all, and I want half of them to die. And then I want...
Are those the same half?
There's some, like, it's, like, kind of weird, because it's unlike Love Live, where it's like them actually going into the idol industry. I find the idol industry in Japan really interesting from a perspective, like from an outside view, because it's completely different from how like any music industry works normally. And the Idolmaster anime doesn't really ever address the problems, the huge disgusting problems with the idol industry, because there are quite a lot. But the Idolmaster anime does, like, none of that. It just has a bunch of cute girls doing cute things. And I'm like, yeah,
but that's like your jam. That's like everything you are.
But some of them are really irritating. Like, there's Anzu. like there's Anzu, who I love. And she's this, like, young... She, for a start, she looks like 10, but she's actually 19, I believe. If the... Yeah, and then she has, like, this sidekick, and she's just, like, a fucking lazy girl who doesn't want to do anything. And she has, like, a motto on a t-shirt that says something like, "If you work hard, you're dead," or something really dumb. Okay. She just doesn't want to do anything. And so she just sits around sleeping or, like, just ignoring everything that's going on. So she's my favorite, but then she's, like, counteracted by her counterpart, who's this really annoying, chirpy girl who has, like, that cat lip thing and does the, like, the niko niko ni, like, all the high pitched voice shit, and I'm just like, oh, shut up, just shut up and go away. And then there's, like the third or fourth episode has, like, there's, like, a really annoying character who always insists that she's a cat, and she puts, like, the ears on, and, like, the first episode, when they introduce all the idols in the first episode, they have this thing where it's like, so what's your thing? And the other girls are like, I don't have a thing. I'm just like a normal girl, but I'm here because I wanted to be an idol. And they're like, oh, okay. Because we've got, like, the lolly. We've got, like, the Lolita dress lady. Then we've got the rocker. Then we've got the cat girl. Then we've got this one. And we've got the maid girl. And it goes through all of them. And then, like, the best bit was, like, when the cat girl was out of her stupid fucking, like, ears, she didn't realize she was being recorded and just was acting completely normally. And then I was like, oh, so they are actually just putting on a character. Why can't they just be normal? But
that
anyway.
Reminds me of, you know, the one of the later episodes of Turning Girls, where the one, like, the wannabe idol one who's, like, got the frog thing and, like, she lets down her facade and she's got like a Shikoku accent or something really provincial.
Yeah,
Turning Girls is good. I wish that was actually available anymore. Got taken off of YouTube.
I've not heard of it, but
really,
oh, is that thing?
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah,
no, we'll talk about it now. It's Trigger. They just to, like, test their process, they made a 7-episode, like, short limited animation anime about, like, four women who are all turning 30 and just, like, all the depressing and sad things. And it's interesting because it's one of the few anime where, like, literally from bottom to top, everybody in there, it's written by women, directed by women, acted by women, animated by women. And it's kind of funny because it was really, really popular. And it kind of, I think Trigger kind of came to regard it as an embarrassment because it was just supposed to be like this, oh, this little like one-off testy thing. So they took it off YouTube. It's kind of hard to find now.
I think you've talked about it before.
Yeah,
yeah, I've talked about it before. It's funny.
Talking about it before.
Is that the one that Anime News Network or one of those sites like didn't think was anime?
Yeah, I think that My Anime List doesn't list it because it's not anime or something like that. And, AnimeDB won't list it because it's not animated enough. They won't list Inferno Cop either. This is all stupid. But we could have a fight about this, but it would just be one-sided because everyone here thinks it's dumb.
And then my friend came around after we were watching Idolmaster. Sorry to go back to my shit life. He started mentioning AKB0048, which is possibly the worst thing I've ever seen. Actually, that's not true. But it's fucking garbage. Like, so the premise is it's in a world where music and entertainment has been banned, presumably because it's too much fun. So then they have these four like characters who then go down a mine and are like chased by policemen with guns to go to an AKB48 concert.
Isn't that a real band or a
movie? Yeah. No, I mean, this is the kind of interesting thing about AKB0048. Yeah, AKB48 is a real band. Then all the characters on there are also, apart from obviously the male voices, are also AKB48, like people in the band. And then the way that they had chose the four main characters was they had a voting competition for like the lesser AKB48 bands. So there's like tiers of AKB48, and the lower tier they got to vote on which one of those four idols got to be the main voice actors and the main characters, which means that the four they chose have got awful voice acting and it sounds terrible and they can't do emotions. And then you got like, so then they go to like a massive, like, I don't know how the police don't know, because it's a fucking huge party where AKB are riding on the back of a plane, and then they get these little sort of like tiny squares that they then jump on and then dance on. But then also then the police show up. So they also then on these tiny little planes then shoot the police, not with real bullets, but with like magic zap bullets and stuff that
to make them dance.
Turns them in, not even that. It just like knocks them out, and then they all run away. But then they all realize they have like a secret hidden soul, which is like identified by these stupid fucking spirit that just sort of like follows one of them about, and then like. And then they go off and try to become idols in this dumb, like, dystopian sci-fi future planet where the idols are using to attack and fight and shoot everything. And, we watched two episodes. It's terrible. The second episode, they were on board, on a flight ship to get to the idol, like, master, not idol master, AKB48 training thing. And then they got attacked and it was... It's fucking dire. It's like the most. It's just awful. Like, there's nothing good about it. There's nothing. The only thing that's good about it is that you laugh at it and be like, "Why the fuck is all of this happening? And why do I care?" And then you realize you don't. And then I realize I haven't gotten past the second episode, and I really want to watch the third because apparently it's a training episode, which sounds fucking ridiculous because they can't sing or dance. So I don't know how they're going to get good at that. but yeah, so that's sort of my anime, my idol hole that I've fallen down, just terrible. But yeah, and then I've also been watching Akka, which I believe we've all been watching, and is all kind of boring but sort of good at the same time.
I mean, I was watching it, and I got up to episode 6, and I've kind of let it fall by the wayside since then because it is weirdly boring for how, like, political and labyrinthine the plot is supposed to be.
I know that
John likes it more than I do, but...
I mean, I've gotten to episode 7, and episode 7 is when the hand gets revealed, and then it gets a lot more interesting. Like, episode 7's a good episode. It's like this really slow reveal that they've just been doing for 6 episodes, and then they're like, oh yeah, now here's why it still matters. But they had to sort of set all the previous stuff up so you understand the implications of the 7th.
They didn't have to do it the way they did it. I mean,
they didn't have to go to the snowy land and the like medieval France land and
the people with the land with all the tall people and the land with all
I think there's one that's just
a matriarchal society instead of patriarchal, and then there's one that's like everybody is fat because the food's so good.
Yeah, the Hawaii caricatures.
Yeah, yeah. I mean.
I enjoyed the art style of Akka. I enjoyed it on paper because I think I may have mentioned this on this very podcast. It reminds me of the like bureaucracy side of Full Metal Alchemist, without any of like the mysticism or stuff. But it's so slow, and the main character is supposed to be this like inscrutable badass, but it's kind of just like a cipher. And
he's not really.
I don't know.
I don't think he's a badass. I think he's been misrepresented. He is being misrepresented by everyone else as someone else.
I think he is portrayed as a badass. I think he's portrayed as somebody who's competent at his job and maybe gets a little lucky falling into situations where he can figure out some more stuff. He's not necessarily portrayed as a badass, and there's a lot of stuff that probably, I guess, in the 2 episodes that you haven't watched yet where it becomes clear that he's just a pawn and there are reasons that he is so important.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but in a show where the like secret council of like 5 shadow bureaucrats spends a lot of their time talking about you, and the director of your entire organization is personally like courting your sympathies, I feel like that implies that you're a person of some consequence. And if they don't follow through with that
part is true. Do you want me to just tell you what happens? You don't care.
I don't care. I really don't care.
He's a prince.
Oh, yeah.
That's the big reveal. That's why he's so important, and it's not because he's, you know,
good at his job.
The best internal affairs officer ever.
I mean, he is pretty good at his job, to be fair.
I mean, we haven't even explained what this show is, have we? Or did we explain it in a previous episode?
No, I don't think we've mentioned it ever. I think this is the first time we've brought up Akka. Akka is a sort of political drama based on like this overall governing body in this land that looks like a bird, which is fucking dumb.
It's basically, oh fuck, what's the name of the, why my brain is dying? The big, everybody's in it, all the worlds in the organization in real life, this thing, like the good one, the...
What are you talking about?
All the countries are part of it. What is it called? I can't remember.
The UN?
Thank you. It's basically the UN on steroids.
The big organization, everyone's part of it.
The UN.
My brain failed. United Nations. Okay. It's like the United Nations, but on steroids. That's all I wanted to say. Sorry.
It's a bit more, I mean, it feels a bit more dictatorship than that.
Like I said, on steroids. Yeah. Like, it definitely has a lot more power than the UN has. Like, UN doesn't have, whatever, I'm not going to.
No politics. But yeah, like...
It's a big governing body that governs over all of the other smaller governments. You know,
well, it's an oversight body that sees that all the other departments and bureaus are operating properly. And it was the first episode, they're like, oh, we're going to abolish it. And the end of the first episode, they're like, never mind, we're not going to abolish it. And it just follows this one guy who's like the
he's the auditor, basically.
Yeah, he's an auditor. He's like the vice director of the central branch, and he goes to all the outside branches to talk to people. And that's the first half of the show. It's just him going to the different provinces and like finding corruption and deciding to do something about it or not do something about it. And he's got a best friend who's spying on him on behalf of the director who, yeah, I don't know. It's all like a bunch of like sound and fury signifying nothing, it feels like at this point.
But then there was also a lot of like stuff that they brought up, which I thought was interesting, like how cigarettes are a real luxury, but somehow he has loads of them, and then also it's like the king doesn't like cigarettes, so is that sort of like a message to the king, like, hey, fuck you, king, I'd like cigarettes and you don't, but it's not. It's just he's just addicted to smoking, and he gets
Even want to do his job. That's another thing. Like, he doesn't want to do it. He just kind of stuck in it, and I don't know why he keeps doing it. If he just like he owns a fucking building and is like the landlord of a building, he doesn't need this job. He could just quit and do that. I don't know.
But he's not.
It's a,
he's
it's
not
a very
even,
weird.
It's weird.
Not even
it's
the landlord because he has a different guy to actually.
That's right.
Look
he's
after
the owner. He's just the owner of the building.
So
it is very strange, and I don't think it's good, but I find it very pleasant to watch.
I mean, I don't mind it when it's on, but just like to sit down and watch like a really like lukewarmly paced political drama is always kind of like it's very much it wants very much for you to like get enmeshed in like the idea of these different departments and different provinces operating differently and like, oh, but I don't really know what the hook is supposed to be besides the fact that like everyone seems to be part of some conspiracy.
Yeah.
And also the continent shaped like a bird and how can
it's fucking shaped like a bird.
Just to bring it back to that, because
yeah, the continent shaped like a bird, which is the dumbest thing. I really hope that
I mean, I don't know. I'm not taking the show very seriously because I don't think it's good, but I find it very pleasant to watch and I look forward to putting it on just so I can like zone out and chill for a bit.
And meanwhile, you're behind on March Comes in Like a Lion. So
I'm behind
on
that
too. Shut up. I mean, the reason I'm behind on that is just because I haven't been in the mood for being depressed. So
I mean, it's the thing
I've been
is,
doing pretty good lately, so I don't want to like bring myself down.
Fair enough. To be completely honest, though, I think that the second half of March Comes in Like a Lion has swung very much towards the positive end. And I was talking about Duncan with this earlier that like. It's kind of become a very different show than the first half, which is disappointing because I thought the first half was brilliant. And now it's just focusing on these people higher up in the shogi hierarchy, how Ray could grow into one of them and which one does he want to grow into and how does he see himself being part of this shogi organization, which is interesting, but it's not as like directly emotional and relatable as the first half.
That's not why I started watching the show at all. So
yeah,
that definitely doesn't. I mean, I'd have to watch it for myself, but it doesn't sound like the most appealing thing in the world.
I mean, the weird thing is we're three episodes from the end, and I see no way that we're going to be coming to an ending at all. It might just be like
I don't think it will. I think it's got like the manga's still going, so I guess that it will just be like come to a satisfactory point, and then it will just do its own thing.
I guess I'm not seeing a satisfactory point in the next three episodes happening,
like,
but
yeah, I kind of like the, I know what you mean. I think I'm getting to that point now where, cause I've gotten to where that you've mentioned, cause I've gotten to the end of the tournament, not the end, but as far as Ray is concerned, the end of his contribution to the tournament, the Lion tournament, whatever it's called. And now he's
March Comes in Like a Lion. I get it.
Yeah, I think that must be what the title's referring to. But yeah, like the bits that I did like was some of his sort of like there was one bit where there was that guy who was like clearly a drunk and had that present, and then the sister came up to him and was just like, yeah, you know he's going to, like, divorce his wife and he's in a really shit position and all he wants to do is win once before he can, like, he can, you know, win once before he can, like, retire so that he doesn't go home and have a shit Christmas. And she's basically, like, guilt-tripping him into making him purposely throw the game.
I didn't find that very interesting, to be honest. I don't like the sister as a, like... I'm saying not supposed to like her, but I don't like her as a character either.
Well, I haven't seen her for six episodes, so you can you can take that. Like she vanishes. The three sisters that he's friends with vanish.
What? But
what?
Like,
oh, like,
what's the point?
Yeah, they are the best part, but no. And so he's hanging out with the guy who beat him, Shimada, the guy who beats him in the tournament. He like joins his like shogi club, and like Shimada's obsessed with like getting to know him because. Apparently, like his shogi style is a lot like the current world champion. What's his face? The white haired guy. I think it's Soya.
King. And so, like, are they called the king? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm mixing up with
they have names.
I'm mixing it up with Chihayafuru.
Yeah, me too.
And the Karuta terminology.
Yep.
But like, so it's just him hanging out with this like very like grim, dour guy who just is in shogi because like because of a variety of complex backstory reasons, and it just doesn't really do that much for me. I feel like I find them all interesting characters, but their interactions are very low key, and I don't see what this is doing for Rey's character. And if the show was did not seem to be about the relationship that Rey has with different people in his life and his difficulty connecting with them and finding a purpose that's independent of other people's expectations, I wouldn't mind it, but because it does seem to be about, like, it's about Rey. And so, like, to him just hanging around with the guy who beat him and trying to help him, like, grow as a shogi player is just not where I want the show to end. And it looks like it's, unless something drastic happens in the next few episodes, it looks like that's where the show is going to end. Is that Shimada's either going to beat Soya or he's going to get beaten by Soya. And either way, Rey will be like, oh, and that's the end. That's the end. So I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe we'll get 3-line 2.
You're like anti-selling me on the second half with more shows.
I mean, it's a beautifully done show. Like, all moments are really well considered. I just don't. It feels like a weaker and less show with less direction to it. Mm-hmm. Which is not what I was expecting. But maybe it's just a limitation of the source material, because I imagine that the author wouldn't want them to skip around and skip over the Lion King tournament to get to something that's more. But yeah, I don't know. Also, are all crazy girls in anime named Kyoko? Because isn't Golden Time Girls Kyoko, and Rei's crazy sister is Kyoko, and Coco is from Jormungand. I wonder if it's just something about that name. But I was thinking about it as I was talking.
Who's the was it? Oh fuck, the girl in Mirai Nikki. What's her name? Is that Yoko Gurasai? Oh, Yuno Gasai, that's it.
So. Yes, Yuno. That's not. Yeah. I've never seen Mirai Nikki. It does not appeal to me when I read the plot synopsis.
I have.
It seems overly complicated.
I have a friend who's always trying to push it on me with, like, this one clip of some girl being really violent. I think is this the one that
it was one of the first popularizers of Yandere, I know.
Yeah, like, that's right.
The current
right.
Yandere boom is because of Mirai Nikki, in part. And I just like Yandere very much. Yandere readers being a girl who likes you and is super violent and crazy and expressing that liking of you. So
sometimes I'll read, like, a really trashy manga that I just find that's, like, I know it's just, like, a couple volumes and, like, about a Yandere, and I'm like, I don't understand why people like this, but
I thought, I mean, we're jumping all over the place, but you know, I thought Mirai Nikki was actually pretty good. The ending was dumb as fuck. But there's not much to the show. It's basically a guy, Deus Ex Machina, is about to die, who's like the god, and then he gets 13 people with ways to keep a diary, who says if you have to kill them all, and then you become god and reign over the world in my place because I'm dying. And that's the story. And then it's like, basically, it's 13 interactions with interesting people who have, like, crazy ways of reading or memorizing stuff, and they have different things. So the main guy can everything, he notes everything that happens, everything that's really insignificant and boring, like, oh, a dog passed me, oh, this shop is closed today, oh, I scored a perfect, like, hit on darts, which I do every morning. He records them every day on his phone, and then he realizes that his phone is, like, can tell the future, but his future is of everything that's around him, but not him. And then you got Yuno Gasai, who's in love with him, and she records everything about him. So she knows exactly what he's doing. He doesn't know what anything he's doing is, but he knows what everybody else is doing. And then there's other people, the 13 other people, who also read things in different ways. And it's actually, like, there's one which is a killer, and it reads about how he's going to kill people. And you can either kill them or you can destroy their diary. It's kind of an interesting premise. And then it's told quite well, and the characters are quite good, and then the ending's quite dumb. but, like, yeah, only because, yes, yeah, it's dumb. There's no other way around it. Like, but also, it works within the construct of the show. It's like, this is the only way this anime can end, and some pretty horrific things happens to the main guy because of Yuno Gasai. And I actually, like, it's kind of hard now because everybody knows that Yuno Gasai is a yandere, but when you're reading it the first time, or when I was reading it, I had no idea. And then when the shit hit the fan with her, it was insane and really good. But I don't know if it will have the same if you can harbor the same reaction or emotion that I did, because you already know that this is some crazy lass who likes to kill people and does like what she can to protect his love, even if it's to hurt him. And yeah, so I would say that's good. But anyway, we're digressing.
I had a planned segue from boring politics in Akka to boring politics in Eureka 7, but I guess we'll try to salvage that. Because I haven't really been watching any anime except for Eureka 7 lately, because I was stupid and took on a 50-episode series that I was lukewarm about after the first few episodes and just kept watching because, as mentioned in the last episode, I never quit anything. No. And like, there's stuff that I really, really like about Eureka 7. I think that even though the idea that, okay, so Eureka 7 is there's this group of rebels and they're trying to like figure out what's the deal with this like
how many
weird alien life form. What?
I said how many?
I don't know. Like,
oh, I thought you were going to
like a dozen or something.
I thought you were going to say seven. Damn it.
No, there's not seven. I don't think the seven means. Does the seven mean anything, John? I don't think the seven means anything.
No.
Oh no, it's the seven swell. It's the seven swell phenomenon. That's like the weird army to drive thing.
Yeah. Oh damn it! Yeah. Well, that ruins that joke. Sorry.
Carry on. Yeah. No. Sorry. So, but there's this group of rebels. They're fighting against a kind of totalitarian military dictatorship on this alien planet that has this weird sort of like coral-like life form. And there's this group of religious people who worship the coral, and they're called the Voldorak. And yeah, it's one of those shows where, because it has 50 episodes, it's like, we don't have to have a plot until the next, you know, until at least episode 20. It can just be Renton Thurston, the son of this military hero who like wants to like pilot a robot and be important. And he gets picked up with this group of rebels and they treat him really terribly, but because he, you know, loves robots and loves reffing, which is the other weird wrinkle about this, is that it's the surfing robot anime and there's things called trapars, which is short for transparent particles. And people ref, which is either lift or reflect based on how you interpret the romanization of that, or the, I guess, the Japanization of that. I don't know. I like the rebel group. I like the idea that there's an attempt to have three different generations based on like the older generation uses rock and the middle generation is all about rap. And then like there's dance music for the younger generation. And there's a lot of the idea of this rebel group being a collective is kind of cool. And some of the art design is cool. But it's one of those robot anime that are deeply interested in like the politics of their made up military dictatorship, but because it's a single government and it's a military government that like does secret projects and kills people for no reason. And there's a group of rebel religious people and they're just like, oh, the Corallians are God and we need to be, you know, more in contact with them. It's just, it feels really like vague. It's very weirdly vague, which is funny because when I was reading interviews, he's like, oh, I had this very specific idea for like this story with these elements and they're there, but just like, there's not really anything in between them. And it's like, oh, they, you know, they surf and they fight the military dictatorship and the military dictatorship's got a plan to like use to like seize control of more of the planet by like manufacturing a crisis. And yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like the only thing I really liked about it, I've really liked without any reservation about it, is this like brief interlude where Renton runs away from Gecko State, which is the rebel group, and its super abusive leader, Holland Novak, who is very jealous of Renton's relationship with the titular Eureka, who is the most Ray XB I've ever seen in my life. Eureka? Like she is what?
It's pronounced nope. Eureka.
Nope, Eureka.
But sorry. That's what everybody calls it though, Eureka. It drives me nuts. Sorry. I know.
I'm already nuts. But
it just, people call it Eureka. They don't say Eureka, even though that's what it is. It drives me crazy. Okay, sorry.
I understand perfectly. Yeah, she's just Rei, Ayanami Rei from Evangelion, but like a weird alien chick, and Renton likes her and she likes him. But of course, because it's a 50 episode anime, it takes them like 25, 28 episodes to like actually
to realize they
articulate that and do anything about it. They pilot a robot together. And for some reason, like when they're mad at each other, the robot doesn't fly as well. And like no one puts two and two together that like, oh, I don't know. But like he briefly runs away because he's mad at like how terrible he's treated by the Gecko State, which is really funny when you have the leader of your rebel group be this like unsympathetic guy with like anger management issues who like is a disgraced military officer who formed this rebel group. And I don't know. But he runs away from these two weird like disco mercenaries that are called Charles and Rei Beams. And like they're super in love and they, you know, do contracts for the military. And it was, and like they're like, oh well, we can't have kids, so we'd love to adopt you. And it's like a 4-episode arc that's like really nice, where like there's no dysfunctional bullshit relationships and they're both really funny characters. And then of course like Gecko State comes back in and ends up, they have like a beef with Holland and Holland has to kill them, and then Renton's sad and unresponsive. This is a weird thing of why you like Eureka 7 and don't like Evangelion John, because like Renton's like a shit Shinji, is like what he often feels like. He's got an important military dad who is absent in one case because he's dead, as opposed to just being a jerk. And he like breaks down over the smallest thing and doesn't do stuff for episodes at a time. And it's very, I'm rambling. I'm sorry, guys. I have a lot of mixed feelings about Eureka 7.
I watched Eureka 7 years ago. I don't know if I like it. Everything you're talking about makes me hate it.
I mean, the surfing robots are, at the end of the day, the surfing robots are kind of cool. And I think that there's like a punk sensibility to like the, like basing the different factions off of different like music subcultures that like makes it feel good. But it's kind of just a crap mecha anime at its very bones. And I'm trying to find a hook for it. And I was like, this weekend, I was like, oh, I'm going to watch a bunch and then I'll have a bunch to talk about in the podcast. And I turned it on to episode 38. And there's just Renton. And there's not Renton, there's Holland, and he's in the soccer jersey and he's on a soccer field. I just turned it off. I didn't want to watch a sports episode.
Is this going to be the first series you quit?
No, it's not. I'm going to just marathon it.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, I've only got like 12 episodes left. Oh, yeah, like I can do that easy.
You can also watch something else.
That's what, like four hours? I'll do it tonight.
That reminds me of like Wack Fu, which is an anime because it's done by either Madhouse or A1 Pictures, but it's all done in French. But anyway, mm-hmm. Yeah, like episode 10 or 11 of that was a football episode because it's based off an MMO and they have a dumb football mini game. And that's when I also was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to fucking watch this bullshit.
I actually like that. I liked that part of Wack Fu.
I know Wack Fu has got a lot of fans and it's got like an OVA or a mini movie done by Ghibli, which is kind of cool. But I don't know. Those episodes were just like, I don't want to do sports right now. Not really. You look really upset, John.
I'm very. I'm trying to justify the fact that I like it, but I can't come up with anything, so I'll just
like. I mean, you like what you like.
About it later.
But you could take those like that football episodes. Like, there's about 3 or 4 of them, right? You could take them out, and it won't change the plot.
Oh, definitely, 100%. Like, that's true of a lot of long-running series, especially series like this where somebody's gonna save the world and it's his destiny. Like Avatar is similar. I know we're now talking about like non-anime Avatar's
Wakfu is anime in my eyes,
so is Avatar. And
yeah, Avatar's shit,
but like Avatar, you know, similarly just like meanders forever, and then it has like a bunch of really good episodes, and then it meanders, and it has a bunch of really good episodes. Lots of these long-running series have that kind of shit.
Yeah, I mean, there are long stretches of like, I mean, the problem with Eureka 7, I think at the end of the day, is just that it's a 26-episode anime trapped in a 51-episode anime's body. And it's just, like, the fact that, like, it takes 14 episodes for people just to stop like relentlessly bullying Renton and trying to get him to leave the ship. Like, he's our protagonist and our viewpoint character into this world, and like everyone just treats him terribly and wants him to leave. Yeah, and wishes he'd like die and shit. And it's just like, and like every time that like,
I do not remember all this stuff, the fact that they treat him like shit.
Every time that Holland gets mad at Renton, he goes and he beats him savagely. And this is like a 28-year-old man beating a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And like, jeez. not like slapping him or shit, but like holding him by the neck and like hitting him in the face. And then when he falls to the ground, like stomping on him. And it's supposed to be like, oh, he's hot-blooded. But I'm like, you're beating up a kid. Am I supposed to like you? Like, I don't know. Like,
guy? Is Holland a bad guy?
No, he's the good guy. He's like the idealistic leader of this rebel group. And he like, they have some like, you know, Christ-like messiah stuff that like, oh, he was the first one to rebel against the military because he didn't approve of the like the weird genocide thing they have with the Corallians, the aliens, the coral aliens that they're sharing the planet with. And like, we're supposed to like him, and we're supposed to like see his violence towards Renton as jealousy over how close Renton is to Eureka. But he just, I mean, like, at the end of the day, there's very few like situations where savagely beating someone who is literally half your age doesn't make me like, how am I supposed to like that guy? Like, how am I supposed to be like, oh, he's justified to beat up a little kid?
he's just a bit and upset.
And then other people come around and like, oh, maybe they'll use like, people be like, oh, I don't approve of what Holland's doing, but like he's got these anger problems. But they're like, you should watch out and not make Holland so upset. And I'm like, this is abuse.
The only thing
you,
I know
you
about
said he killed Ray and Charles Beam or whatever.
Yeah, he has also killed Ray Beams and Charles.
I remember really liking them.
They're great. They are awesome because Renton runs away and he goes this like Ray. The show's full of like music and like people dancing and stuff. And like, and so like he goes to this like outdoor dance party by some huge speakers. And like he sits on this like swing set that's nearby and like notices this girl with like long dark hair who's kind of like dancing to this kind of like techno disco stuff. And this hilarious guy with like a huge like square jaw and like a big frilly shirt that's like open to his belly button and like tight maroon pants, because I was like, she's hot, isn't she? You can just see that she loves the music, and when someone loves music like that, whatever they're dancing, it looks good. And then he goes over there and he's like, I'm gonna ask her to dance, and it ends up that they're a married couple, and they're like, you seem cool, kid, let's go. And it's just like, we're supposed to realize, I don't know what we're supposed to think, because like that is a functional way of relating to other people, not beating the crap out of them because you're jealous that they are close to your girlfriend, daughter, baby. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
See, one good mecha that I've been watching, and I know we've talked about this one before, but I'm bringing it back, and I know also that Cody isn't here, which is what I really wanted to talk to him about, but Gundam Blood Orphans Season
Iron,
2.
Iron Blood Orphans.
Pun? Iron Blooded
Orphans. Iron Blooded Orphans.
Yeah. Season 2 has happened. And we're watching through, and it's like, it's really good. And you were asking me what I liked about the episode, what I liked about this series of Gundam more than the other ones that I've attempted last time we talked about it, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I was thinking, like, I like that there's no, in like, it's a very centralized unit of kids who don't know the world, don't know the universe, and likewise, nor do I. So when the rest of the universe comes in and the politics come in, which they do really heavily in the second season, like, it's fine because the kids know nothing as well. And what you grasp is also what the kids grasp. And then there's also like a brutality to the fighting and to the mechs and to the weapons that aren't in the other ones. Like, a lot of them are like just like laser light shows, it feels like, in my eyes. Like, I've got ones with like, there's not a single laser beam. There's laser beams, so not a single laser sword. There's like one like ancient weapon that has a laser beam. The rest are all like bullets or missiles or dechaffs, and it's all like really heavy sort of like weaponry. There's one guy who just uses like a fucking like a clipper, like a double-handed, like, giant clipper thing, which literally cuts enemies in half, like, in the middle. Where
that sounds pretty Gundam, though.
it does, but it's not, like, a laser beam or a laser shield. It's, like, just a hammer or some bullets.
It's a mechanical element rather than a magic science element, and you're like,
I like that a lot more.
I understand.
Also, there's this like strong, there's this constant sense of like family throughout the whole show. So you're jumping between like different families. He then has like, obviously it follows this main group of people. There's like Mikazuki and Olga, who are the main two, and they have the most interesting relationship. But for the 50 odd episodes that I've watched, they also have not been fleshed out at all, like, which is kind of frustrating because it's basically Orga's like the head, and then Mikazuki just does everything Orga tells him to do without questioning it and just assumes that he's right. And that means that where Mikazuki is now, he can't use half his body when he's not connected into a Gundam. Like, he has to be literally carried around by everybody else. And it means that like there's this interesting thing of Olga like presumably eventually going to kill his best friend or leave him to a state where he's just a potato and it's going to be really sad. But then there's also like a lot of like the second season, so yeah, that's cool, I guess. But then also the second season is a lot more interesting than the first season, because the first season is just get this girl, like, save the princess route of get this girl to Earth and everything's going to be tickety-boo. Now it's like, we've gotten her to Earth, which is what we expected, and now we don't know what's going to happen next. And it turns out it's some politics between the Galahorn sort of foundation, which does have the one really creepy guy who I presume is eventually going to be the bad guy, who wants to marry like a 5-year-old. And the reason is because he read like a book and he says that, all love will be accepted. And then the little girl's like, even our love. And then he's like, yes, even our love. And I was like, you're a fucking creep. Why are you here? And then it's bizarre. But, like, I don't know. It does some really interesting stuff. Like, it has some really nice fights. And then it also has, like, some very abrupt, like, there was one scene where someone got assassinated in this last episode. And I found that a really strong, effective scene because it just happens without any pre-warning. It just happens. This person just gets killed. She's looking at a bear. And then she gets shot through a window. And it was very quick and very aggressive and very shocking. And, like, it's now then the next episode is they then fight the person who assassinated her. But that scene was really good. And there's a lot of good scenes throughout that show where it's, like, a lot of people are against them because they're mostly young shit kids. And they presume they don't know what they're up against. And a lot of stuff, and a lot of good stuff happens with the main character. Olga is like the head of the organization and he has to make all the decisions, but half the time he doesn't know the decisions he's making. And in season two, one of the main characters who's actually like the cool-headed person who gives Olga to cool it down and not kill someone is like, he dies in the end of the first season, which is actually quite shocking because he was the best character, Biscuit. And he has a dumb name. I think the other one's called, like, Biscuit has two daughters and they had a conversation about whether Mars corn is different from Earth corn, which is just like, what the fuck are you talking about? But because Mars corn is like multicolored, whilst I guess Earth corn is just yellow. There's
multicolored corn in on Earth. Like,
yeah.
It's golden, brown, and red.
Oh, no, this is like all the colors of the rainbow. Oh, I like magic corn. Magic. Because,
so it's like, okay. Of course.
I guess.
That's what Mars does.
Yeah, Mars corn. It's like better than normal corn, but it's different slightly. But But yeah, like it does. So I actually really enjoy this season. I like a lot of the character interplays a lot, even though they're kind of muted for a lot of the first season. Now the second season is this like this person who's like the stabilizer for Olga is dead, and now he's just going crazy. He wants to become like the king of Mars so that he can protect his family from any bad things. And then it's just about the way he's doing it is insane. And it's really interesting seeing how this guy is presumably eventually just going to either destroy, like he's going to do it, but they're all saying the way you do it is like different. And it looks like he's just going to destroy himself. And it's really interesting. I really enjoy the second season. I would strongly recommend it to anyone who wants to give a Gundam show a good watch, and then just ignore the fact that kids are being killed. But yeah.
I mean, people are always asking, like, I think people have a lot of curiosity about, like, how to get into Macross and how to get into Gundam, because I feel like every person you ask will give you a different, like, best entry point for those two franchises.
Yeah.
I actually want to watch Macross. I've never watched it before. I don't know why I want to watch it, but I do.
It's one of those things, I mean, when something's been around for so long, you're like, why is people interested in this?
Yeah. But also, like, when it's been rebooted countless times and every person's mm-hmm. got a different favorite, it's kind of hard. Because I know some people say, like, oh, well, Do You Remember Love is just a recap edit of the original series, and there's no need to watch the original series because Do You Remember Love is better. And some people are like, oh, no, Do You Remember Love changes the plot and like the meaning of the original series, and you've got to watch the original series and then watch Do You Remember Love to get perspective on it. People saying like, oh, the three Gundam movies from the first Gundam series are like, you can watch those on their own and they get you caught up and put in the world. And some people are like, oh no, they changed too much from the original series.
Yeah. You have to watch the first series or nothing.
Yeah.
it's crazy. But I've also heard Macross Frontier being considered the best Macross, or at least the most popular one. That's got Cheryl Gnome in it, hasn't it?
Mm.
But isn't that also when everything becomes like dancing? Or am I going crazy?
That's Do You Remember Love. Do You Remember Love has the dancing and the pop star angle.
That's why I want to watch it, I think, is because of the pop star angle.
I mean, that's almost all Do You Remember Love. It's added in on top of the series itself, where she's a character in the pop star is a character in the original Macross, but not nearly as central as the movie re-edits her to be. So,
Yeah, no, yeah. I haven't seen Macross. I've seen I saw Symphogear. That was fucking garbage. That's like a similar thing where they're trying.
Have you watched anything good?
No. Like that's a similar thing where it's like you have to sing to kill the monsters, but one of them is Nana Mizuki is the voice actress for one of them, and she's a very famous artist who my friend loves a lot, and that's the only reason why he watched it. And then she dies in the first episode, and then the main character and then the main character is this terrible voice actor who's a complete newbie and can't sing for shit and is awful, and it's like it's garbage. But yeah, moving on. Anime. So most of it's a pile of shit. Like,
yep.
It's really yep. hard. It's really hard when you're a fan of like I always try and look for something that's at least good or quantifiably interesting to do with anime. But then there was so much other stuff that kind of just bites you in the ass and is like, yeah, anime is just garbage and all they want to watch is just like floppy tits. And do you know what I mean though? Like,
no, yeah. I know. And it's, yep. and that's the annoying thing is that oftentimes it's almost like you're watching, two people are watching two different shows. One person's watching it for like the themes and characters and plot, and one person's watching it for titillation and sweet explosions and,
yeah,
and yeah, and jiggly anime boobs and butts. So,
and that's fine. There's a lot of anime that does that.
Yeah, I mean, they you can cater to multiple audiences, and I mean, that's what's often frustrating when people are like, "Oh, fan service is a problem that like anime needs to fix before it can be taken seriously," and that feels like saying violence is a problem that like Hollywood movies need to fix before they can be taken seriously. And like, I mean,
yeah.
You have to kind of seek out the good stuff because there's no perfect media. I don't think there is. So I don't know.
No, but it makes
I can't get discouraged.
It also makes it kind of hard to actually recommend any anime because
you always have to be like with this caveat of, oh, this is really good. Just ignore the camel toe of the 3-year old. You don't need to.
Yeah, yeah, and that happens a lot. Oh well. Like I tried to recommend Konosuba to a friend, and then I was like, it's really good. Just. I hope you don't mind fan service because there's a load of it.
Because there's a ton of it. And it's the weird, it's like...
I mean, it's Studio Deen Animation, Konosuba. And so it means it's fucking garbage. Like, the animation is terrible. I think that adds a charm to Konosuba. But
yes.
Christ alive, the animation is so bad. Especially when it's like a minor character or a character that's... or like any female character. Basically, just have ridiculous.
Their breasts are like water balloons. Like,
yeah, they just kind of don't obey any laws of nature. Like that Darkness episode was really bad for that. That when Darkness comes back,
when she gets wet and her outfit gets all ripped up, and like she, like they, Studio Deen's problem is they need to have a better tracking of how big a character's boobs are because like. Darkness's boobs grow at least twice their normal size in the course of that episode just because they keep making her look more and more ridiculously stacked.
And then it sort of shrinks as soon as she puts on that breastplate armor.
Yeah, there's no way that those things would fit inside that armor. No fucking way. Oh, man. It's bad.
But thinking about Darkness, it will be totally Darkness to be forcing to wear herself a smaller chest-sized armor.
That's pretty baby got backstory,
but,
though.
Yeah, that is. Like, but I don't know. Like, that episode was also really funny, but...
Yeah, no, it was a great episode. It's just, like, they make it a bit slimier than it needs to be. And, again, that's for a different audience than the one that's... I think none of us are watching... Konosuba because we like the sexy girls.
I don't even I like sexy girls. Okay, it's true.
Yeah, but
I mean, I watched all of Prison High
School. I don't find it titillating at all because it's so unnatural and off-putting, and I just it's so weird. I don't understand it. I can't empathize with people who are into that sort of animation. And I've seen people argue that it's just because it's funny, and I know that's not true.
But like going back to the designs also, like, did you see the episode, like the latest episode when they're fighting the lizards and they've got that girl that, like, one of the girls had like a belt just across her boobs and then everything was just attached to that belt. And you're like, I don't know whether they're trying to make a point of how absurd like a JRPG fan armor is. But I don't think it has that intelligence.
I think it might be trying to do that, but it's trying to, like, you know, have its cake and eat it, you know?
Yeah, totally. That sort of deal. Totally. Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. It's whatever. It's used to it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Studio Deen does a lot of shit. Like, they've done a lot of garbage.
I mean, when you're that big and, like... I mean, like, because they did most of Naruto too, didn't they? Studio Deen.
I don't know who did Naruto.
No, they don't do Naruto. They didn't do Naruto. They might have, at least not.
Oh, that's Studio Pierrot that did Naruto. But they're the same. Yeah. They're the same kind of group, aren't they? Too, of just like where they take on anything, and like if a production company needs like something animated, just like ask Studio Deen, and they'll do it. Like they don't have like. A vision like Gainax or Madhouse or Trigger or something. That's the certain thing that they do. Wow. No, they'll just do anything.
They really have done a lot of stuff, Studio Deen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of it's not great. Some of it's some of it's good, but some of it's not great.
Nope, none of it. Yeah. Like,
Konosuba probably survives on its source material alone. I mean, on the other hand, they are really good at like the comedic timing thing, so, you know, maybe.
Yeah, but that's mostly the director, right?
Right.
Am I right in thinking that? Yeah, like the comedic timing they have, the reactions they have are all on point, which is what I felt was lacking sorely from Assassination Classroom when I watched the first episode of that. But that's just
trying to see who the director is for Konosuba. Kanasaki Takaomi. He did Kore wa Zombie Desu ka.
That's actually kind of funny.
He did one season of School Rumble. He's done a lot of. He's mostly a storyboard artist. Looks like he did storyboards for Setokai no Ichizan, Minami Kei. He hasn't really directed that much. I mean, he's directed a few random stuff, and like I said, School Rumble and Kore wa Zombie Desu ka. So
Studio Dean has done a lot of like they did a lot of the classics like Rurouni Kenshin. They did
Ram the Half.
Urusei Yatsura, which I think you recently watched, Ben.
I'm always watching it. It's what I turn on when I want to watch anime, but I'm too drunk soccer. To remember something. So
wait, what anime is this?
Urusei Yatsura from it's a Rumiko Takahashi like Ranma One Half. It's where this really awful like lascivious young man ends up. Having an alien fall in love with him. Lum. It's good. It's actually surprisingly good. The main problem is just that it's made for episodic TV in the 80s, so it's slow and it's weird and it's often looks super janky. There was like a Christmas episode that was actually amazing in terms of its like writing and plot, and the next episode's like, oh no, so and so ate a farting fruit from space. It's kind of give and take. And I think all of Rumiko Takahashi stuff. It's kind of like Ranma One Half has ups and downs, I think.
Actually, I was thinking like recently about watching Ranma One Half because I've never seen any of it. All I know is dude becomes girl when he gets wet. That's literally all I know about it.
And his dad becomes panda.
Oh, well now I know that too. It's been like, it's one of those things that everybody talks about, but I never watched it. I don't know anything about it.
Well, strap in for 143 episodes.
Okay, I don't want to watch it anymore. Is it good? Is it worth watching? That's 143 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, these old ones, it's just like, you just have to kind of enjoy inhabiting the world.
I can understand that. I mean, I'm also on like episode 120 something of Gintama, and there are I think they have over 300 episodes now, so.
Gintama's on like 400, isn't it?
Gintama's is 400. It's pretty big. I think it's supposed to be ending like real soon, like ending.
The manga's ending real soon.
Mm-hmm. And I think the anime is gonna follow suit. But anyway, whatever.
I don't think the manga's gonna end in any, because the thing with Gintama is it starts off with an actual plot, and then it just gets completely forgotten. Hilarious jokes.
It's very gag heavy, but then every once in a while it goes into like a serious sort of story, but also filled with gags. So I don't really get bored with the serious story, but whatever. I don't know.
Have you got to the gender cross episode yet, or is that?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think
it happens more than once, to be honest. So.
Oh no, there's one with. Oh God, have you met?
I just finished the Monster Hunter arc, which was pretty good.
The what one, sorry?
There's an arc where some aliens are trying to, they turn everybody into screwdrivers to try to fix their PSP to play Monster Hunter, except it's like off-brand stuff.
And then doesn't his penis turn into a screwdriver?
His penis does, in fact, turn into a screwdriver.
Yep.
Poor Gintoki.
right. Okay, you're miles away. There's an episode. So you know that... that girl who wants to be a guy.
Yeah.
There's an episode where she finds a person who makes the whole the gender of the whole world swap, and she wishes it, and it's actually quite funny. But that was the last one I watched. But that was just because it was the first episode of the latest season.
I'm actually surprised how well they handle her sometimes, and then also sometimes it's very kind of transphobic, but they're pretty positive about it, and I kind of like that. Like, it's surprising how, like, I guess it's not like super old, but it's old enough that I'm, it's pleasantly not completely problematic.
when you're pleasantly surprised that it's not as bad as it possibly could have been, then you know you're watching anime. It's like, oh, what a pleasant surprise. This is not awful shit.
True. True. You, that's sad and true.
The worst for me was like Tiger and Bunny. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Tiger and Bunny is good, but there's that one character who's called like Flame Someone, and he's just this like blatantly very flamboyant homosexual, but he's just like, his whole character is what he wears, which is he has like pink hair and then this glitzy fucking suit, which is like skin tight and shows his abs, and then he just is like, ooh, hey, a boy, like that, and it's, mm-hmm. and yeah. it's like, oh, that's
there's kind of a lot of that in anime.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. That's fun. It's
fun's kind of a word. Anyway, are we done? Should we go to a break?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a break, and then we can talk about what our spotlight anime will be for the next episode.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Wickedy whack.
Just one last time, John. What are you going to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'll figure it out.
And we're back. For the second half of this podcast, we're going to be pitching spotlight animes for us to watch during our time off and then come back with a bit of discussion. I know that John has one that he's been talking about for hours now. And what one is that?
So many hours. About watching Bartender again. That's Bartender for English speakers. Just
translator's note.
Bartender.
It's kind of a series of short stories told from the perspective of a single bartender. Like, you know, it's a very quiet bar. These people come in, he serves them drinks. I think he might even like do some weird like shtick of finding the best drink for whoever his customer is. It that makes it sound more exciting than it is, and that makes it sound more boring than it is. It's just, I remember really liking it because it was very chill and very like just calm, and it's nice to have that every now and then. And this bartender just listens to these people tell us stories, and like, he's kind of like he's almost like a therapist for them. Like, you know, good bartenders are, I guess. I don't know. I'd never experienced that. But yeah, how do I pitch things? What is a pitch?
I mean, he's seeking his glass of God, which sounds dumb.
Stop reading the blurb.
Don't read that. I don't even remember that from watching it. What the hell are you talking about?
It's really bad copy. I'm honestly shocked.
Genius bartender Sasakura Ryu makes the most incredible cocktails anyone has ever tasted.
Okay, let's...
Seeking his glass of God, individuals from all different walks of life visit his bar with both a compassionate ear and a godly drink. Ryu helps people with their problems.
This is the worst. This is my nightmare. I guess that's part of it. I don't remember any of that, so I'm going to go ahead and say that's not the strength of the series.
I imagine not.
I think they're, like, for the most part, like, these people come in and they tell their stories and they're kind of, like, separate. And there might be, like, an overarching thing where they connect at the end. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
But yeah, they've all got that like, God the, glass.
Just no tonally, way. Shut up, I will stab you. just tonally... I remember really liking it. I want
to
watch it.
I mean, I haven't seen it myself, but I've heard about it, and it does seem to be like very peaceful, meditative.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think it's something people would like if they watched it too.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I am pitching something that's a bit more obvious. I'm pitching the original Ghost in the Shell movie because this month is going to be the premiere of the live action movie starring Scarlett Johansson that I think we're all very mixed about.
I mean,
about its prospects.
Mostly negative, right? Kind of looks like garbage.
I'm neutral to poor on it. I mean, there seems to be a lot of good
so negative.
Good touches, but no, I mean, I'm trying to stay optimistic because like it has a chance to be good, and there are some touches that do seem to show that they're like thinking about it. The fact that they bring in Hideo Kuze from the Individual 11 from the TV series, and they and they have scenes that I recognize from the TV show and the anime. So it seems like they're trying to build a more hybrid work that touches on different things than just a straight adaptation of the original movie. But it is at its root an adaptation of the original 1995 movie directed by Mamoru Oshii. And right. It's been a long time since I've seen it. It had a good remaster of the original that came out 2 years ago on Blu-ray. And yeah, I think that it would be a good thing to revisit and to kind of, you know, check in with after 22 years of it being out.
Speaking personally, I've seen it before and I remember not really enjoying it, but I think I watched it after Standalone Complex. And that may have soured me a bit because I really like Standalone Complex.
Standalone Complex is great, but I mean, yeah.
But
so you know, that's my thing on the table. I don't think there's need to see much of a defense for it because we've all seen it.
Yeah,
I imagine most of the people that are listening to this podcast have seen it. It's one of those foundational works. I might as well suggest we watch Akira, but
we could,
which I would, yeah, totally. But but no, so that's what I'm putting on the table.
Okay.
And if we feel like it, if we watch that and people feel like watching more, we could also maybe watch Innocence and see about that too.
See, I haven't seen the second one. I saw the first one.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Got a bit bored and I didn't really like Standalone Complex either. So
well, okay. This is
you think all anime is bad, so
why don't you suggest something now? Yeah.
Fine. After what we were talking about, what I was talking about previously, I was thinking about my love of idols, so I'm going to suggest Satoshi Kon's Perfect Blue.
Wow.
Which is actually, it's like kind of, it's got some shocking, it's got a shocking scene, I remember, which is sort of the pivotal scene to the whole thing. But I remember really enjoying it. It's like one of Satoshi Kon's is it his first work he's done or his second one?
All I know is it's his most talked about, at least from what I can tell. There's also Tokyo.
It's often the gateway one to.
I would think Paprika's more talked about, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Maybe. I feel like, anyway, it doesn't matter if it's talked about most or not. Anyway,
The big Satoshi Kon films, there's like Perfect Blue, Millennium Actress, Tokyo Godfathers, and then there's Paprika.
Paprika.
And then there's Paranoia Agent, which is the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also apparently Dreaming Machine, which we're never going to see because it came out and he started making it and then he died in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And there's been efforts to finish it, but they're not promising.
Yeah, yeah. The last I heard about it was like 5 or like maybe even 10 years ago, just saying, yeah, we ran out of budget and we want to make it, but we haven't got any money. but yeah, but Perfect Blue was definitely, from the looks of it, maybe his first feature film. World Apartment Horror is his first feature film. Anyway, the first big one that was a hit. I don't know. I liked Perfect Blue a lot. I thought it was pretty good. I mentioned about the sort of dark, seedy underbelly of idol industry, it gets into that. It does stuff about stalking. It does stuff about their perception of herself in the movie and getting her as an actor away from her as an actual individual. And whilst the ending I felt was kind of like stock Satoshi Kon twist, like shocking twist thriller shit, I didn't actually think was that good. Like I did enjoy a lot of the themes that are going on in that movie. So there you go. Perfect Blue.
And our new system is going to be that the person whose anime was last picked gets to pick, which means that I am picking.
I mean,
in the future, we should probably do it that the person who's picking does not have an item in
running.
Otherwise, it feels weird.
Yeah.
But that means that
we'll put that in the production notes.
but then we've
right
only got
now,
two people. It means we should have, if we do one of these, we should maybe try and open a few more cats.
Well, we tried. But...
In the future, ideally, we will get people emailing us at keyframespodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Keyframespodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you. I fucked that up real bad, didn't I?
Keyframes.pod.
In the future, please email us.
Yes, if you want us like to watch an anime.
Yeah, please and talk about us. It.
Keep it short. Don't make it like a 50,000 episode series. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Anyway,
these are things that we need to develop. But for now, I am leaning towards Bartender right now. I love Perfect Blue, but I haven't seen Bartender, and I've heard a lot of buzz about it recently, weirdly. And also, with my new job, one of the things I've been spending my paycheck on is building a home bar. So if there's any I don't know. It's just probably actually not in the alcohol craft. but if there is, that'd be cool. So yeah, let's go with that.
I mean, you just need that God glass and then...
I will... Man, I... God. I hope...
On the other hand, Andy's going to ruin the discussion of this anime, so maybe we shouldn't.
I won't.
Andy, if you act up, I'll just have John edit you out of the podcast, and I can just, that'll be that.
Just
that.
Beep out every time I say glass of God or God glass. Yeah, Bartender sounds good, actually. I think it sounds interesting. Cool.
Well, that was cool. A lot more decisive than I was expecting it to be. So, yeah, I don't think we have any emails or tweets to respond to. I don't think Andy's come up with a game, so let's go ahead and end it here.
Oh, next time. Next time I'll think of a dumb game.
You can do a bartending anime game.
Oh, see, I don't drink alcohol, so it'll be hard for me.
Even
to
better.
So it'll be even better. Yeah. I don't see what the problem is.
Is this a drink or not? I don't know.
So yeah. Listeners, please tweet us at KeyFramesPod.
Yeah.
Email us at keyframespodcast@gmail.com. We'll answer anything you ask as long as it's anime related or anime adjacent. Tune in next time. Does anyone else have any jokes they want to get off before we end this podcast?
No, I don't have anything. Do email us suggestions as well. I think that'll be good.
Suggestions, questions, comments, if you want us to awkwardly handle the question of moe like we did in the first episode, like we go on forever about that sort of stuff. So yeah.
And if you want any questions about the idol industry answered, I'm your man, because it's fucking weird. It's not weird, it's very interesting, but very has some
weird. it's weird.
I don't want to say it's weird, because that's very like blanket.
It's weird.
There are problems with it. Also, it's interesting. Yes, for sure. Anyway,
anyway,
ask questions if you want to hear more.
Well, yeah, if you want to hear more, check us in next time.
And if you don't, say it again. I'm sorry.
Keyframes.cast@mailg.com.
Why are you doing this?
I don't know.
Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
I'm so sorry.